Hi, Kara.
Hey, Megan.
This is the Witches, Magic, Murder, and Mystery Podcast.
It is?
It is.
Oh, my gosh.
It did sound like I was telling you.
Hey, I am Kara, so excited to be on this episode today.
You know this podcast we've been doing almost every week for 2 years? It's the Witches, Magic, Murder, and Mystery Podcast.
Oh, my God, Megan, it's been almost
2 years. It has been almost 2 years. That's weird, right?
Holy heck. How many listens are we at? We're close.
I don't know. We are close. We'll have to do something to celebrate it. We're close to a million.
Let's record it. Let's do something weird and record it.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Obviously.
Did we say I'm Megan and you're Kara?
Oh, I don't know, but hey, I'm Kara.
And I'm Megan.
And we're the Witches, Magic, Murder, Mystery Podcast.
In case you missed it the first three times. Okay, so Tuesday episodes, if you don't know this already, are usually
our
a little different.
Pieces.
Yeah, they're shorter. They're usually sent in by you guys. This one's not.
Okay.
It is a little bit shorter than my usual ones, but it's kind of different because it's a different kind of mystery. It's more of a medical mystery.
Oh, I love these kinds.
But you guys, I've done a few episodes about this kind of thing where, so I went to college for a really long time.
To be an amphibianologist.
Oh, man. To just have a bachelor's degree that I don't actually use anymore.
Because so, it's fun.
I should be like a doctor like twice over for
right.
as long as I went to college.
Right.
But it took me a long time to settle on a major. And I ended up settling on psychology strictly mm-hmm. because I think the brain is so,
it's so
freaking
interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Certain things like, well, like hysterical pregnancy where you can, your body will, you will
right.
develop a pregnant belly.
Yeah.
You believe so much that you are pregnant.
You can feel it move.
Yeah. That you will look pregnant.
Yeah.
Like the things that the brain is capable of doing fascinate me.
Oh, yeah.
So what we're about to talk about
okay.
is a medical mystery.
Okay.
And one of the things that happened in my abnormal psych class, they were like, listen, as you learn about these mental illnesses, mm-hmm. all of you are going to diagnose yourself with this.
Oh, yeah,
and
for
we
sure.
were all, you know, 19 years old. We were like, yeah, sure.
We're not going to.
But then in the middle of class, I'm like, oh, I am definitely, I have that. I have that. Uh-huh. Oh, I also have that.
Yeah.
So as I'm going through this, hopefully none of you diagnose yourself with what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. This is going to be great.
All right. It is 1882.
Okay. I love that time frame.
Chester A. Arthur is president.
Uh-huh.
Because James Garfield was assassinated. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just
I went to college for a really long time.
No, I didn't learn that in college. And I didn't learn that in high school. I learned that watching a documentary because I love history.
I had no idea that James Garfield was assassinated. So Chester A. Arthur is president. There are 38 states. We're about a year past a famous gunfight that breaks out at the OK Corral in Tombstone, Arizona.
Yeah.
When Wyatt Earp and his brothers and Doc Holliday
uh-huh.
try to disarm Billy Clinton and the Cowboys.
Oh, man.
This has absolutely nothing to
nothing
do with the story.
Megan knows every.
The story I'm telling you doesn't that. Even take place in the United States. I really just was like, how could I have a Tombstone reference? And there we go. Okay, so in 1882 in
uh-huh,
France,
uh-huh.
Dr. Jules Cotard, he's hanging out in his office at a hospital in France with a very French name. When a new patient arrives,
yep.
a 43-year-old woman who's forever referred to as Mademoiselle X. We don't know
X.
her name.
Okay.
So
like
she,
Jane Doe, but no.
Right.
Mademoiselle
X.
I prefer that.
She shows up and she's like, Dr. Cotard, listen, I am nothing. Just like Whitney Houston, you know,
yeah.
nothing. And he's like, excuse me?
I'm sorry, what?
She says, I am skin and bones.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're thinking, okay, is this some sort of weight thing? An
yeah,
eating
like,
disorder? No.
What are you going through?
No. Mademoiselle X believes she has no brain, no nerves, no chest, no stomach, no bowels, no internal organs.
It's just skin and bones.
She is an upright sack of skin, basically, being dragged around.
Sacketitis.
By her bones.
Okay.
So let's just, what?
What? How?
How do you think you're moving?
How do you think you're having these thoughts?
Right.
Right.
How do you think you're speaking?
Yep.
Okay.
How do you think that you even came up with this conclusion?
Also, says Mademoiselle X, uh-huh. I have no soul.
Oh.
P.S. There's no God. The devil doesn't exist. I am immortal.
Mm.
Is it schizophrenia? No.
No.
Not quite.
No.
Because she believes that she cannot die, Mademoiselle X is like, also, I don't eat. I don't need to eat. What's the point? I have no stomach.
Oh.
I'm immortal.
I feel no hunger.
No stomach, no organs. And
he
doctor,
looks at his watch.
Dr. Cotter's
like,
I'll
give you 3 days.
Wow.
Great.
What do we do here?
Where do we put you?
Yes.
So, lovely. Wow.
Can you imagine him just being like, huh? So he does
no.
the, 1880 version of Googling kids.
Yeah.
And he finds a reference to a case in 1788, 100 years earlier, where a Swiss scientist named Charles... It's either Bonnet or Bonnet. I think it's Bonnet.
I like Bonnet.
Talked about a woman who'd come to his office with similar symptoms. Apparently, she'd been fine, going about her normal activities. She was making a meal for her family.
Okay.
And then she felt a draft, which I don't really know what that has to do with anything.
Did she know?
But it was there. Yeah. And she fell.
Oh.
She experienced temporary paralysis on one side of her body. Okay. That's where she fell. The paralysis got better. And then she turns to her daughters. She says, girls, I'm dead. I need you to put me in a coffin. I need you to wrap me in a shroud and put me in a coffin.
And they said, Mom?
They're like, you are not dead.
Yeah.
Let's just We're talking down. To you. Don't be dramatic. Mm-hmm. And this woman insists that she's dead. And she is like, you must treat me as if I'm dead. Like, she's angry with
that they won't do it. She's like, I'll do it myself.
Ain't nobody happy unless Mom is happy. Right. So they do it. They're just like, okay, Mom, you're dead. And they wrap her in a shroud and they put her in a coffin and they mourn her.
She's like looking at everybody, grinning, peeking to see who's there.
Who's crying.
Yeah.
And then once she fell asleep, they took her out of the coffin, out of the shroud, and put her in bed. And so to treat this, the doctor or whoever in 1788 made a powder out of precious stones and opium.
Great.
You know, you want to do some cocaine about it.
Yeah.
Which seemed to help.
Okay.
Mostly, her symptoms would return every now and then.
But now she's like, dependent on cocaine.
Not. What's worse, really?
Yeah.
And that wasn't the only example Dr. Cotard found in the literature.
Oh, there's more.
There were a few sporadically.
Oh, okay.
So then I did the 2022 version of Googling.
Right.
And I discovered this website that I'm completely obsessed with now.
I can't wait.
They'll be in the show notes if you guys want to see. But it's called the Sloan, S-L-O-A-N-E, Letters Project.
Okay.
Basically, there are 38 volumes of letters, either to or from this Irish doctor named Sir Hans Sloan. He lived in the 1700s.
Okay.
In the letters, you know, it's his...
And they were able to preserve these letters.
Yes. Amazing. That's what this project is. They're basically making a database of them to search. I don't particularly know that he is like any sort of important person. It's just that they have
all
of his correspondence. And they're full of everything. There's like scientific discourse, collections of antiquities, talk of just general curiosities and books, patients' illnesses, medical treatment, family history, whatever. Right. I love it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is amazing.
Right.
Anyway, in one of those letters dated July 20th, 1715, I can't even quite tell you how I found this.
But right.
Apothecary William Lilly wrote a letter to Hans Sloan about Lady Henrietta Somerset.
Okay.
And in it, he describes a condition that sounds a lot like the same thing that Dr. Cotard is seeing. Although, obviously, it wasn't diagnosed as anything back then. It's also not super great to try and diagnose someone hundreds of years later based on one letter. Exactly. But,
you know, just I like it.
We're walk with me it. Here.
Yeah.
In the letter, Lily, the apothecary, says that the Lady Somerset had taken a nap. Here's a quote from the letter, so it's a little bit different way of speaking. But when she waked from her slumber, called out in a frightful manner for half an hour that she was deceased. Then she got really, really sleepy and lay still without any motion. And then she needed help to get to a bedpan, even though she'd walked just fine the day before.
Oh.
So he thought she might have phrenitis, which is acute inflammation of the mind and body.
Oh.
Like your mind's inflamed.
Right.
Got some problems in your brain.
Got it. It's a little fluffy up there.
He tried a few different common treatments from the time.
Okay.
Like bloodletting.
Leeches.
Laying pigeons at her feet, which was something they used to do for like headaches and migraines.
I've got the next solution for you when you get a headache.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Get some pigeons.
Shaved her head to keep her head from overheating.
Oh.
And applied blisters to her legs to draw the bad humor down and out. Do you know what applying blisters means?
Are you burning the skin?
I had to look it up because I was like, what? And I thought maybe the word blister meant something different.
You take like a blister off your heel, like and the just skin, like, just like.
Yeah. Slap it on there. Okay. So I looked it up and I ended up reading. I did because it made me sad. I ended up reading about George Washington's death.
Right.
Which happened 30 months after he retired. So let's all take a moment. I remember him singing in Hamilton about how he's finally going, I'm going home.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Like he sits under his vine and fig tree and whatever.
Right.
And he ended up passing away a little over 2 years later.
Right.
Anyway, here's what I learned after
probably
reading.
Probably what was like strep or pneumonia.
They actually don't 100% know.
Right.
But they think pneumonia.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, applying blisters means they would actually put stuff on the skin to cause a blister to form. It would be like a paste a lot of the time.
Oh, to like it.
To like the irritate skin. The skin. Yeah. And a blister would rise up. And then they would like, I'm sorry. Here's the thing we get in trouble for a lot with you guys. If you're eating right now, stop.
Yeah. If you're thinking of eating.
I'll give you a minute.
If you got a beverage in your mouth.
Go ahead, swallow it.
Yeah.
Okay. We all doing good? Okay.
You good?
The blister would rise up and they would cut it open and drain it.
Mm-hmm.
And they believed that the stuff that drained out of it was like the, whatever was making you sick. It was like the bad stuff. It would.
Oh.
So they're like, we're going to make this have a blister. It's going to pull up all the bad stuff.
Oh.
And we're going to drain it and then you're going to get better.
Oh.
They did that to George Washington too.
Yeah.
They tried this. This is one of the treatments
that process worked.
That Lily tried on Lady Somerset to dry off whatever was making her act so odd. He described her as much more melancholy than usual.
Mm.
He also said that, here's another quote. She says that she is undone in soul and body, that she is sure she will be damned. And when I urge her to speak, she tells me she is dead and has been so for some time.
Hmm.
She did end up dying less than a month later on August 10th, 1750.
Wow.
1715. Dr. Cotterd, he didn't know about that case. That's
right.
My own special thing. But he did find other similar cases presented by French psychiatrist Jean-Étienne Dominique Esquirol.
Yeah.
And Francois Lorette.
Perfect.
And Cotterd decided he was witnessing something new.
Oh.
A syndrome he first called hypochondrial delirium.
Okay.
And later, negation delusion. It was characterized by anxious melancholia, condemnation of ideas, insensitivity to pain, negation delusion of organs, and immortality delusion.
Hmm.
Today, this syndrome is known as Cotterd's delusion or walking corpse syndrome.
Oh.
People with this diagnosis often deny their own existence or the existence of certain parts of their body.
Okay.
Sometimes they may be convinced that they are already rotting.
Okay.
That they've lost some or all of their organs or that they've already died.
Wow.
Sometimes it's like...
Convinced that they're rotting.
Yeah. Wait till I give you some of these examples. Because it's just like,
amazing.
What? So sometimes it's like they think their whole body is dead. Or sometimes it's more like Mademoiselle X where she's just like, all my organs are gone. Yeah. I don't have any nervous system.
Right.
I don't have any torso.
Right.
No torso.
I'm
hair.
Sorry.
How's your head? Holding up.
Yeah, how are all your bones and skin? And
so that's the thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, she can look down and see
mm-hmm.
that there's a torso there.
Yeah.
But when she looks at it, she sees it as dead.
Oh.
And so they don't see any reason. People with this problem, they don't see any reason to take care of it. Because why? Right. It's dead.
Yeah.
Just like she's like, I don't need to eat.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's like, my stomach is dead and gone. I have no reason to eat. And she ended up dying of starvation.
Yeah.
Like, that is how... It's not like even at some point her survival instinct kicked over.
Yeah.
She just
let it
starve to
take over. Yeah.
And several of the articles I read about this made the point to say she was in fine physical health before this started.
Ooh.
So that's the physical danger of this illness. The patient neglects to take care of their basic needs and hygiene, and then their physical health declines.
Ooh.
So Dr. Cotterd named this syndrome in 1882. Since then, there have only been about 200 cases diagnosed worldwide, so it's incredibly rare.
Yeah.
And I know I've told you about a lot of really old cases,
uh-huh.
but there have been several more recent instances.
What?
So let's talk about
that. Okay, let's do it.
They're not in order, I don't think, unless they just magically are, in which case, forget I said that.
Right.
In 2003, a patient in Greece went to the doctor because he's like, I have no brain.
Right.
It's gone.
I don't feel a thing.
And he said he'd attempted suicide a few years earlier because there's no point in living if you don't have a brain.
Oh, gosh.
Years. So this has been going on for years?
Just with that.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
That same doctor also reported treating a 72-year-old woman who said, Doc, all of my organs melted, leaving just skin here.
Where'd they go?
I'm practically dead.
Where?
I don't know. I don't know if she means melted like rotted. In 2008, a psychiatrist in New York treated a 53-year-old woman who complained that she was dead and that she smelled so bad of rotting flesh. Oh.
And they're like, ma'am, you smell of daisies.
Like she smelled something that wasn't there.
Just like her brain just made her believe it so much that she could smell it.
And she, like, wanted her family. She was like, take me to the morgue with all the other dead people. And her family's like, no. And they called 911.
Oh, my gosh.
But, like, she was insisting, like, that's where I'm supposed to be. I'm dead. Like, that's firmly she believed it.
No.
In 2009, an 88-year-old man in Belgium went to the psychiatrist for his depression. And he finally, they're talking about his depression. And he was like, okay, actually, here's the thing. I'm dead.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm a little concerned that nobody's buried me yet.
Oh, sir.
Which is kind of, well, yeah, I can see what that would bother you.
Yeah.
However.
I'm actually dead.
Let me tell you, you're not dead.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. They won't believe you. There is no reasoning.
Right.
You know, a 46-year-old woman went to her psychiatrist stating, I have not eaten or used the bathroom in months.
Mm.
And I have not slept in years.
Mm.
My organs have all rotted.
Mm-mm.
And when doctors would try to tell her, you have a heartbeat. There is blood running through your body.
Right.
She basically just accused them of lying. Just like, no, you're making this up.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Yeah.
All my internal organs have dried up. You people are making this up.
That's wild.
In 2015, Brazilian doctors treated a 31-year-old man who said his organs were destroyed and he was hollow inside and that all his skin was rotting.
So all of these people are convinced that they have no organs.
Mm-hmm. Because they're dead.
Yeah.
He insisted that his body was deformed and that his face was full of holes, which it kind of is if you think about it. I mean, you've got eye sockets and your nose and stuff. But now, when I mentioned the characteristics that Dr. Cotter listed as part of this new syndrome he discovered, you might remember that I said immortality delusion.
Right.
So I'm telling you, people with Cotard syndrome believe they are dead, but also believe they're immortal.
Right.
Like a zombie or a vampire, basically. They're dead, but they're still here on Earth interacting with living people. And to a person with Cotard syndrome, this is just proof of their eternal damnation, which is another characteristic of the syndrome, so is like believing they're damned.
They're purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
Is nobody believing them.
Right. So being on Earth and interacting with living people does not make them think, oh, I'm wrong.
Right.
I must be alive. This is evidence I'm alive. Instead, this is simply further like, oh,
yeah,
I'm dead.
I shouldn't be here.
So now I'm damned. I must be damned.
Yeah.
So doctors still don't really know what causes Cotard's delusion. It's also known as, like I said, walking corpse syndrome and Cotard's syndrome.
Huh.
Research links it to another illness called, I think it's C-A-P-G-R-A-S, Capgras delusion, which makes you believe that the people around you are all imposters. It's caused by a neural misfiring in the part of the brain that recognizes faces. So it's like, I would look at you and I know you're Kara.
Yeah.
But when I look at your face, I don't recognize it as your face.
Yeah.
And so I think you're Kara, but you're not Kara.
Right.
Something in my brain doesn't believe it. So can you imagine how uncomfortable and creepy that would feel to look at all the people you know and be like, it's you, but it's not you.
It's not you. I know it's not you.
And so
you're a changeling.
The hypothesis is that Cotter's delusion takes this kind of misfiring one step further. Instead of being unable to recognize faces, you can't recognize your own body, which I get, I guess, except like, I mean, if I looked at my internal organs right now, I wouldn't recognize them either. Like, I would be like, well, that's mine.
That's my spleen.
There's some sort of, I love how it's always spleen. Yeah. There's some sort of detachment here where like you see your body, but you see it as dead.
Right.
Like, why?
Also, it's getting you to and from places. It's so
it must be such a thing of like, you look at your body and you're not recognizing it as being yours. So then it's like, well, the only way
I'm stuck in this.
Yeah. The only way this doesn't feel like my body is that it must be dead.
Yeah.
Or something.
Right.
So here's what we do know.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Cotard's delusion is a symptom of different illnesses rather than a standalone disease in itself.
Okay.
So it's not listed in the DSM-5, which is a manual we've talked about before, used by mental health professionals to diagnose a mental illness.
Right.
It gives the criteria that must be met for a diagnosis. So Cotter's delusion is not a standalone diagnosis. It's known to be secondary to other conditions like psychotic depression, dementia, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and the use of psychoactive and psychotropic substances like heroin, LSD, and cocaine.
Okay.
Cotter's delusion can happen at any age, but people seem to most often get it in their 50s, and they usually have a history of mental health issues like the ones I listed a minute ago. And most people who suffer from it also have some type of brain damage that shows up on imaging tests, like a stroke, tumor, blood clot, or some other injury. Yeah. There are typically three stages to Cotter's delusion. The first one is the person will experience anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
In the second stage, they start to believe they're dead.
Okay.
And by the third stage, it's like you cannot
right.
reason with them. You cannot yeah. convince them that they're not yeah. dead. So here's the good news.
Okay, great.
If you or someone you know suddenly starts to show any symptoms of Cotard's delusion, there is treatment available.
Oh.
So since Cotard's is recognized as a secondary issue, treatment is usually focused on whatever the primary medical right. issue is. So right. usually a combination of medication and talk therapy, BetterHelp/WMMM, is effective. And antidepressants, antipsychotics, and mood stabilizers help. Many of the cases that I presented to you earlier, the recent ones, right. they were able to be treated
oh.
and go on with their life.
Okay.
Yeah. And in some cases, they might return, but right. the symptoms might return
right.
temporarily, but then mm-hmm. you can get treatment
yeah.
and be cured, at least temporarily.
Right.
Yeah. So that's just...
That's wild.
I had read an article about it randomly. It was something about like someone who believed they were a zombie. And so,
oh
of course, I was like, well, that might be something for the podcast at some yeah. point. And so I was going through old stuff and found it. And I was like, oh, yeah. Just the things that your brain can convince yeah. you of. Like the fact that you could be a living, breathing human being fully convinced that right. you're dead.
Right.
And I mean, there was one article that I read about this that was kind of getting into like philosophy stuff mm-hmm. where it's like, what is truth? Like, right. you know, truth is basically what we all kind of agree for yeah. it to be, you know? Yeah. Like, we all agree that the sky is blue, but uh-huh. the blue I see is probably not the same right. way you see yeah, that kind yeah. of thing. I mean, when someone is around you arguing with you, telling you you're alive, but your brain it's is like, very no. firmly being like, yeah. they're wrong. I mean,
you, yeah.
that is your truth.
Yeah.
It's not like you're lying.
Right.
You're not lying.
Oh my gosh.
This is just for you. This is what's Ooh. Real. I cannot imagine just the torment of it.
No, that's insane.
Yeah. So I'm so glad there's treatment. I mean, back then, well, of yeah. course, in Cotard's day, they didn't really know no. what to do. And who knows what kind of medication was even available.
Oh, Lord.
Well, and especially in that the case that I read in the Sloan yeah. Letters Project.
Yeah.
They talked about how Sloan's reply, like Lily was trying to convince him, like, listen, this is not a physical health problem.
Right.
This is hysteria.
Right. Yeah.
And it was all this talk about. People just didn't believe it. Right. People were just like, you know, delusions among women in mm-hmm. particular are, you know.
Let's just put her away.
They're very extravagant delusions, yeah. especially among women. And it's like, no, this is actually a thing.
Yeah.
But of course.
Here we are.
They had to see it a few times. Right. But that's the other thing I think that is so fascinating is how rare it is.
Yeah.
So for Dr. Cotard to even recognize, he went and looked for more examples yeah. instead of just being like, this lady it's is crazy. Nuts. Yeah. I mean, so he actually, crazy. He did his job. He was like, right. oh, this is not.
Oh, we need to look at
other people
this.
Have yeah. experienced this, even if it was 100 years yeah. earlier. There you go.
Well, don't
we all feel smarter?
Amazing.
Got to learn something new today, friends.
How cool is that, guys?
Okay, so that's your Tuesday episode.
Yeah.
We'll be back Friday with another one.
Amazing.
Okay, we love you
so much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.